News with Nick. It's March 19th, 2021, and I've already had about a quarter bottle of wine, and here I am. I didn't even plan to do this show, really. I was like, looking at my schedule, I was like, when am I gonna have time to do another show? If I don't now, it's not gonna be for a little bit. So we gotta do something, put it out, and just see where it goes. We obviously had some big news this week we'll get to, right? Head on over to newswithnick.com. Check out the website. Check out the video version of the show by clicking the episodes and clicking on the episode you want to watch and see my eyeballs and my lips and other things, if you know what I mean, over at the website, newswithnick.com. You can also subscribe to texted updates. Type in your phone number in the top right corner, and you'll get updates as to when there's going to be live shows and when the shows are posted. So that's helpful, right? You guys ever get out of the shower, you're looking at your legs, and you go, you punch them, you go, look at that muscle. I wonder how much stew that would make if you put it into a crock pot. No? Okay. Well, that's the end of the show. Thanks for coming out. This is a good one. And newswithnick.com. You guys hear this? Mr. Potato Head from CNN. It says, Mr. Potato Head tries to be more gender neutral. Hasbro is dropping the honorific Mr. from the Mr. Potato Head brand, renaming the shape-shifting plastic spud to the gender neutral Potato Head. Are you so mad? How mad are you? How mad is everyone at this? This is so dumb and very stupid. Someone told me this. I was like, that doesn't make any sense, because isn't there also a Mrs. Potato Head? So what is it going to be? Potato Head, non-binary thing, and Mrs. Potato Head? It's a notable change from the one of the world's largest toy makers to untether one of its most famous products from a binary gender identity, something that was far less controversial in 1952 when Hasbro introduced the decidedly male and playful anthropomorphic tuber. CNN. Hasbro is making sure all feel welcome in the Potato Head world by officially dropping the Mr. from the Mr. Potato Head brand name and logo to promote gender equality and inclusion, the company said. The rebranded toy launches this fall. Here's a photo. It just says Potato Head, and it's a potato with a mustache. And if you're going to tell me, no, 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 you know what? I'm not even going to finish that sentence. News of the name change emerged at an investors meeting on Thursday. Hasbro tweeted about it, assuring fans, and we'll get to that later. So, this says that the headline says, Mr. Potato Head drops the name and tries to be more gender neutral. And then everyone goes insane. They're like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Why would they do this? This makes no sense. Basically everything I said, which is like, it's a Mr. Potato Head, right? He's clearly male-bodied or male potatoed, whatever you want to call it. That is a man potato, and you're not going to tell me anything different, is what everyone said. Even Glenn Beck was mad. Let's see what Glenn Beck has to say about this.
Buy Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head, because it's the end of an era. It is the end of freedom in America.
It's the end of freedom in America, because Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head don't have gendered prefixes anymore, according to Glenn Beck. Now, to be fair, that clip was taken a little out of context. Glenn Beck is actually ranting about Dr. Seuss.
How much more do you need to see before all of America wakes up and goes, this is fascism?
Anyway, so Glenn Beck, very, very mad that you can't buy Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head anymore because it's the end of freedom in America. Let's jump over on a Hasbro's website, because I was like, this can't be true. But I just assumed it was. I just assumed, well, it's just going to be a thing called Potato Head, and that's just all we're going to get. Because, sorry, I don't have an emotional investment to the potato people. I didn't even know that there was a potato baby until I just saw this photo while talking on the show, where there's a male potato, a female potato. Wait, the female potato has a mustache too? Or is that two male potatoes? How would they make a baby potato? I don't know any. Or I guess potatoes aren't, you don't have, I guess potatoes don't really have sex. Or there's, you just make more potatoes out of your own body. You just like, all right, I'm going to shave some off and that becomes baby potato. Anyway. So I head on over to Hasbro's site and you're like, okay, what do they say? Hasbro is officially renaming the Mr. Potato Head brand to Potato Head to better reflect the full line. But rest assured, the iconic Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head characters aren't going anywhere and still will remain Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head. That's the end. That's basically it. So Mr. Potato Head still exists. It's literally just the brand they took off the Mr. And then everyone who only read headlines at your work, you probably were sitting at lunch and you were overhearing the guy next to you going, "Can you hear? Mr. Potato Head doesn't even exist anymore. It's illegal to be a potato. It's illegal to be a male potato now. Can you believe it?" And he storms off. Launching this fall, the Create Your Own Potato Head family is a celebration of the many faces of families, allowing kids to imagine and create their own potato head family with two large potato bodies, one small potato body, and 42 accessories. The possibilities to create your own families are endless with mixing and mashing all the parts and pieces. So you can make a gay, you can make a les, you can make two non-bis. Can you make, what if you were like, no, the dad had sex with the baby potato and made the other one. Oh yeah, you open to that? Potatohead.com? Oh goodness. Before the show, I was scrolling for more what's happened recently, and Donald Trump Jr. has retweeted this thing. Apparently, Biden today was just walking up the stairs to the Air Force One, and he just tripped several times. He trips. He fully falls down on the stairs going up to Air Force One. And this is Biden, and of course, the funny thing is that Biden, in September, said when Trump was slipping down that ramp, he was like, "Look how I walk and look how he walks. I can run up those stairs." Well, he's tripped. That's almost as funny as when that baby started rolling down the hill. What if the president trips and just starts rolling? There's nobody behind him because he walks past the two Secret Service people and he's going up the stairs. And the guy that's behind him is not right behind him. If he started rolling down the stairs, there'd be nothing anyone could, they'd run up and they're like, "Oh my goodness, he was rolling," but he would roll like four or five times before anyone caught him. Oh man, that'd be funny. It would not be funny if the president of the United States got hurt. I did not say that. Let's see. Oh, big shooting. On March 16th, 2021, a series of mass shootings occurred at three day spas in the metropolitan area of Atlanta, Georgia, United States. Eight people were killed, six of whom were women of Asian descent, and one person was wounded. The suspect, 21-year-old Robert Aaron Long, was taken into custody later that day. This was huge news. This was like this was the big attack of the week, and I wasn't even hardly following it. The news was like, Asians are getting attacked. I'm like, what? There was a shooting? I don't even understand. So let's look into it. While no motive has been established, Long, who is deeply religious and previously spent time in a rehab clinic for sex addiction, said that the shootings were not racially motivated, but related to his addiction. Several commentators have noted the victim's ethnicity, characterized it as a hate crime, or noted overlapping stigmas about race. All right, let's find out what the shootings were like. Okay. Surveillance footage showed the suspect, Robert Aaron Long, Rawl, we'll call him Rawl, good old R-A-L, pulling up at Young's Asian Massage, a day spa near Ackworth, at around 4:50 p.m., a few minutes before the first shooting. The Cherokee County Sheriff's Office responded to reports made at around 5 p.m., so like 10 minutes later, of the shooting. There they found two people fatally shot and three others wounded. Two of the wounded later died at the hospital. Yikes. At around 5:47 p.m., the Atlanta Police Department responded to reports of a robbery at Gold Spa in northeast Atlanta, about 30 miles from the first shooting scene. So he made it 30 miles between, let's say, 4:55 p.m. and 5:47 p.m.? I mean, that's not that insane, but it's pretty far. There, they found three women dead from gunshot wounds. Oh, my goodness. An unnamed eyewitness to the Gold Spa shooting told local Korean media that the shooter said he would kill all Asians. While Atlanta police were at the Gold Spa, they received reports of another shooting across the street at aromatherapy spa, where they discovered another woman shot and killed. According to an eyewitness interview by the Korea Daily, the suspect shot the worker who opened the door of the aromatherapy spa for him and fled without entering. According to the Atlanta Police Department, they noted the similarities between the Piedmont Road and Ackworth shootings and subsequently dispatched officers to patrol similar businesses in the area. Oh, they were like, we're noticing a pattern here. They're spas. Everyone get to a spa. Just call one and get to one. The FBI was called in to assist in the investigation. After the first shooting, the Cherokee County Police released surveillance footage and were later contacted by a couple who identified the suspect as their son, Robert Aaron Long. While his parents were being interviewed, the APD was responding to the second and third shooting in Atlanta. His parents informed deputies that Long's Hyundai Tucson was equipped with a tracking device. Using surveillance footage of his vehicle at both crime scenes, along with the car's tracker, police were able to find him. What the heck? At around 8:30 p.m., which was 3.5 hours after the shootings, Long was spotted by police in Crisp County, 150 miles south. The officers followed him south on I-75 until location blah, 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 blah. They used a pit maneuver to stop the vehicle and took him into custody. It doesn't say they turned on their light. Like, did they try to pull him over first? Or were they just like, pretty sure this is the guy, I'm going to crash into him? That'd be crazy if you'd just done a shooting and you were driving along and then there was a cops following you, but they weren't doing anything yet. They were just following you. And you were like, oh boy. Do they know? Do they not know? And then one just drives up to you and poof, crashes you off the road. He was on his way to Florida when he's apprehended. He was initially blah, 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 blah. Okay. So, no clear motive has been established. Long said that his actions were not racially motivated. So, I wonder how motive works these days. So, if the guy is still alive and they're like, why'd you do it? And he's like, it wasn't race. And they're like, I don't know. I wonder if, like, can you, as the motive finder, can you overrule what the suspect said? According to Sheriff Reynolds, Long wanted to eliminate the temptation of going to spas to have sex or whatever. He said his actions were not racially motivated, driven by sex addiction. According to Sheriff Reynolds, Long wanted to eliminate the temptation by targeting day spas. Long stated that he wanted to help others dealing with sex addictions by targeting the spas. Sexual addiction is a contested topic and blah, 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 blah. It remains unclear if the three day spas targeted were also locations of prostitution. So he's saying that the USA Today reported that all three businesses were listed on an erotic review site specializing in illicit day spas. And officials from the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office said they believe Long may have, in the past, patronized one or more of the spas he targeted. In response to the reports, Atlanta Mayor, blah, 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 said the businesses were legally operating, had not fallen under the radar for, police said Long equated the parlors to sex. So he goes into one, he starts shooting, Robert Kraft runs out of the back. He's like, no, 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 not me. Level one. Okay, crazy. So he didn't leave a manifesto or anything, it doesn't look like. It does say he was on his way to Florida, where he was going to do more shootings. So he was done in Georgia. He's like, that's enough spas in Georgia. I got to go to Florida to do a few more shootings. That's crazy. Now, advocates and scholars have speculated the shooters may have a racial motive due to overlapping stigmas about race, gender, migrant work, and sex work. So earlier in this year, there was a ton of media outlets going, Asians are under attack. And I was like, that's not good, but I didn't really look into it. So now that a couple Asians have been shot by this guy, everyone's like, see, told you, Asians are under attack. And he's like, no, it wasn't because they're Asian. It's because they're working at the spas. I don't care if they're Asian, is what he says. So I'm not sure. Maybe we'll get some interviews coming out. Let's see if there's any more information. Let's see. Long's parents contacted the sheriff's office to identify their son. They informed deputies that the tracking device could lead authorities to his vehicle. So yeah, he does a shooting, but he has a GPS on his car while he's doing the shooting? Jay Baker said he didn't know why Long was being tracked or if he was aware of it. Oh. They do know that without the GPS tracker and his parents' cooperation, Long would not have been apprehended so quickly. He may have been able to carry out additional shootings, it says. This could have been significantly worse. So the parents call the police. They're like, oh, it's our son. But by the way, we stuck one of those Walter White Breaking Bad style GPS trackers on his car. Thank goodness, so you guys can track him. And here it is. And it doesn't say in here whether or not the guy knew that there was a tracker on his car. So his parents, maybe, I don't know how bad this sex addiction was. Was he in like recovery and the parents had to track if he was going to any spas at all? Right? And then look later and be like, you went to a spa. Now, this is why you want to become a runner, because you can trick people into where you're going. You just park miles away. And then you can easily just bring your body to where you want to go and bring it back without any problems. All right. So on Tuesday, I'm at the gym. This has 100% of the time this has happened in town. It's been while I'm at the gym. I can't believe it. So I'm at the gym and I'm driving back home from the gym and I have the radio on. And it's this time I was listening to the radio and the radio guy said, hey, by the way, if you happen to be traveling through blah, 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 this area that I was headed straight towards, there's just some police activity. It looks like the police might be at a house owned by the Free Keeners. It's probably not anything, but you just want to maybe avoid the area if you don't want to get backed up in looky-loos and traffic. So there's that. And I was like, that sounds alarming because that property is pretty close to my house. So let's check it out. So I whip out my phone while I'm driving and I check the chat. And all I see in the chat is FBI is here. And then a couple other people going, oh dear. Oh, should we come? Now, I'm coming back from the gym. It's like 7:15 a.m. And the message is from like, I don't know, an hour or 30 minutes ago. If you have known a lazy libertarian, they're not awake. Nobody's awake. And so there's very little activity in the chat so far. It's just FBI is here. And then as I'm driving home, another message comes through. It's like, I am being told that Ian Freeman is in custody and the FBI is at their house. And I'm like, but Ian's house is not the house that I'm being told about. This Shire Free Church in the town I live in, partially run by Ian Freeman, owns a couple properties. And one of them is Ian's house and one of them is the house down the road from me. So I'm like, they're at both houses? This doesn't seem good at all. So I get home, I pass the scene, and I go, yep, they're definitely there. So I'm like, well, I'm going to be late for work, but it's only once every 5 years we get to have an FBI raid, so I'm going to go run down there. I grab a coat and some gloves, and I sprint down the street. Hiya.
What's up, morning?
What's up?
How are you?
I heard the FBI's here.
FBI's here.
What's the FBI here for?
Federal search warrant.
For who? For what?
That's all I can tell you right now.
Okay. I heard Ian might have already been arrested.
That I don't know.
Okay. Ian owns this property?
That I don't know.
Okay. They're going to do their normal thing where they go in and take stuff out? Have they already taken stuff out?
Again, that I don't know.
All right. You're not going to answer anything I ask.
They're executing the search warrant right now.
All righty. What time do they get here? 6:30-ish?
That sounds about accurate.
All right.
Thank you.
All right.
So that was the Keene police. He didn't want to answer anything, obviously. They never do, right? What happens is the FBI calls the Keene police. They go, hey, we're going to have an FBI raid on Ian's house again. And the Keene police go, okay, sure. What time do you want us to show up? Like 6 a.m. Okay, great. So that was the second property. That was Aria's house. And now I'm a very bad reporter or activist or whatever you want to call it. I'm not really involved with these people very much anymore. I didn't even go, hey, where's Aria? So I hang out outside the building for a little bit longer, and you can sort of see through the window. There's some motion on the porch. But like what happened last time was the FBI went in. They hung out for a bit. They held Ian and his roommates downstairs for, I don't know, 3 hours while they ransacked the place. They took all the computers out to the truck and they drove off. And then Ian was like, oh, everything's fine. I'm free. But this time, what they ended up doing was breaking down the doors of both Ian's house and Aria's house and taking them. So by the time I got there, Aria was probably already gone. I should have asked that. I should have been like, where's Aria? Did you see her get arrested? Because that would have been good info. I just assumed she was in the house like the last raid where they just hold them in there for a while. And TJ the spy goes, I was naked the entire time. Right. So I hang out a bit. It's getting cold. But I'm chatting on the Keene chat. I'm the first one there. There's no other activists. They're asleep, even though their leader and his second property are being raided. And Aria's being raided. No one's there. It's just me and the cops. So I walk over to the other people.
Hi. What's going on here?
Silence.
Are you going in here or just the house?
I gesture to the convenience store there.
Department of Treasury?
I walk up to the guy, read his badge.
Also Department of Treasury?
Both their badges say Department of Treasury on it. Agent. But Department of Treasury, like agent or something. And they have guns and stuff. Like, don't screw with our money. We're going to come shoot you.
Have they taken anything out yet? These guys are more quiet than the other ones.
That was it. They didn't answer anything. So I learned nothing. I updated the Keene chat. I said, there's nothing to report. They're just standing outside the house. So I go home. I go to work. I'm like, well, there's nothing happening. And the other activists are starting to show up. And I don't want to be spotted with them. Because I should have told these cops, you're going to like how nice I'm being when you get the other ones here. Because all they're going to do is yell for the next 2 hours. Or, you know, way more than 2 hours. Probably like 8 hours. About how you guys are Nazis. You're horrible. Anyway, all we know now is two properties have been raided and the Department of Treasury is there. I don't know. Whatever. From departmentofjustice.gov, 6 individuals were indicted by a federal grand jury in New Hampshire and charged with participating in a conspiracy to operate an unlicensed money transmitting business and other offenses. Acting United States Attorney John J. Farley, we'll call him the good JJF, announced today. Those charged in the indictment are Ian Freeman, formerly Ian Bernard, Colleen Fordham, 60, Renee Spinella, 23, Andrew Spinella, 35, Nobody, formerly named Richard Paul, 52, Aria DeMezzo, formerly named James Baker, 34. Freeman, Fordham, Renee, Andrew, and Nobody are also charged with wire fraud and participating in a conspiracy to commit wire fraud. Ian Freeman is charged with money laundering and operating a continuing financial crimes enterprise. Freeman and DeMezzo are also charged with operating an unlicensed money transmitting business. My goodness. Wire fraud, we've got money laundering, a continuing financial crimes enterprise, and unlicensed money transmitting business. So they barge into these properties, and I guess they took the Bitcoin ATMs that were running. So they were running a Bitcoin ATM in the convenience store where you could walk up to it, put money in, and it would send you Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
The Bitcoins would fly out of it, and you'd have to hold your phone up and like try to catch the Bitcoins in the screen or whatever. According to the indictment, since 2016, the defendants have operated a business that enabled customers to exchange over $10 million in fiat currency for virtual currency, charging a fee for their service. They operated their virtual currency exchange business using websites.
Oh, no!
As well as operating virtual currency ATM machines in New Hampshire. The indictment alleges that the defendants knowingly operated a virtual currency exchange business in violation of federal anti-money laundering laws and regulations in furtherance of their scheme. The indictment alleged that some defendants opened a bank account in the names of purported religious entities. Interesting. Is this where the Shire Free Church comes in? According to the indictment, some defendants then engage in substantial efforts to evade detection of their unlawful virtual currency exchange scheme by avoiding answering financial institutions' questions about the nature of the business and misleading financial institutions into believing their unlawful virtual currency exchange business was instead a religious organization receiving charitable contributions. Okay. So I haven't read a single thing in this indictment, or, well, this isn't the indictment, this is just a press release, sorry. I haven't read anything in this press release that alleges anything about having stolen money, of having scammed anyone, misled anyone, or beaten up any old women, or hiking the price of your diabetes medicine or whatever it is. When you have to stab your kid through their genes, they're like, I'm dying of diabetes. And you go, no. Take this EpiPen. Haven't heard any allegations of that either. Just allegations of having run a currency exchange. That's it. I can't think of anything. Operated the virtual currency exchange business in violation of money laundering laws. Well, it's like, oh my goodness. Well, it was illegal. And then it goes on to say, and they tried to hide their illegal activity by lying to the banks about where the money was coming from. Everyone sees the word illegal and they're like, well, they must be evil. But it's only illegal because they didn't have a license to do so. I don't know. I can't claim any inside information as to what these six people were doing because I never even bought a Bitcoin from an ATM. The only time I ever stepped into that convenience store was when one time I was out and the owner said, or the guy said, can someone buy me some cigarettes? I'll pay you. And I was already like at the store, basically. I was like, I'll grab some and I live near you, so I'll swing by. Good story. You didn't need to hear that. All of the defendants were arrested during a coordinated law enforcement action on Tuesday. Yeah, they went to like every location and bashed the door in simultaneously. They were like, all right, 3, 2, 1, bash the door in and rush in and get them. This was a no-knock raid. This wasn't like the 2016 one where they knocked on the door and they were like, we have a warrant. You have to let us in. Nah, they took the battering ram and they took the drone and they smashed through the windows and they rushed in and they got him. Like old school, like the way you would imagine it happening. And I'm thinking, you guys, you libertarians who think that the feds are coming to get you, you've had years to plan what you're going to do when they come. Today's the day. Activate Order 66 or whatever you're supposed to, whatever the emergency button is, the feds are here, press it. And it turns out they didn't have it because I was the first one there an hour after it happened. They had no plan and no button, no emergency, the FBI's here button. Or if they did, they didn't test it and it didn't work. This matter was investigated by the FBI, the Internal Revenue Service, and the United States Postal Inspection Service in coordination with the Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. The case is being prosecuted by blah, 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 blah. So later in that day, I am able to attend virtually the Zoom hearings of pretty much all of them. And so Arya, as far as I know, Arya, Renee, Andrew, and Colleen are out of jail. Nobody, aka Rich Paul, is not out of jail, but we don't know why. I don't know why, at least. They just denied him bail. Maybe because he has a former record that's longer than anyone else's. Now, witness accounts say that Rich Paul, while getting arrested, was basically like, oh, well, here we go again. He's always like that, though. Is it because he's constantly high? He's like, getting arrested by the FBI. Oh, well. Or was his arrest a cover-up for the fact that he wore a wire this time? Probably not. But, and then today was Ian's detainment hearing, where it spent, like, his bond hearing. So they let Arya out, no prob. They were like, okay, you're fine, you can get out. You can go back home. She's not allowed to access a computer or anything, and I'd be like, if that's the law, can I just be in jail? Because that sounds awful. So Ian had his detainment hearing today, and I listened to it, and it was the prosecutor arguing to the judge that Ian has a lot of money in Bitcoin that he's not disclosing, and if he gets out of here, he will flee because he's facing such serious charges. And Ian's lawyer going, A, he's never not faced a trial that he's been charged of, and B, he has Bitcoin, yes, but you guys never asked like how much he had. He's not hiding it. And then they went to the what's the person's name? Probation officer. The probation officer was like, we asked Ian how much money he had and he didn't tell us about the Bitcoin. And then Ian's lawyer was like, you asked Ian how many stocks he had. And the probation officer was like, I asked him like stocks and other thing. They had a whole meeting that was not recorded and it was both going off the probation officer's memory and Ian's memory and Ian's lawyer's associate's memory as to what the actual question was being asked. Because the government was saying, it's easier for me to say the state, but when I say the state, I really mean the federal government. The federal government was saying Ian's hiding his Bitcoin holdings because he didn't disclose it to the probation officer. And Ian's lawyer saying the probation officer never asked. So, whatever. Basically, Ian's detainment hearing was today. And the judge took it under advisement, took all the info, and the judge said, all right, I will come back with the decision of whether or not you can be allowed out on bail. And if he's not allowed out on bail, he will be sitting in federal prison until this works itself out, until trial, which could be a year. Because this is super, they called it a complex case, actually. It must be a legal term. That this is a complex case. And there's not really any precedent to this. Nobody's really been charged with illegally selling Bitcoin. So it's gonna come down to like, is selling Bitcoin a illegal virtual currency exchange or whatever? I don't know. This could be bad for the people that we followed for a long time. So that's the update I have on the FBI raid that I was the first one to. Again. All right, what other stories do we have? Texas school scraps the chivalry assignment that had girls obey any reasonable request from a male. Okay? Outside the classroom, ladies cannot show intellectual superiority if it would offend the men around them. One prompt in the assignment said, all right, let's read this article from NBC News. A Texas school district has pulled an assignment on chivalry that prompted widespread outrage. I love it when the news says, blah, 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 is prompting outrage. Yeah, because you're the news. You're the one prompting the outrage. Could I just write an article? If I was the news, I'd be like, I don't know, crosswalk drawn in this shape is drawing outrage across the town. And then you just make something up. And then you have people starting to talk about it. And some people are like, I am outraged, actually, now that you mention it. The crosswalk lines are too straight. This is against us. Some parents complained about the English assignment, which included rules on how female students at Shallow Water High School outside Lubbock should conduct themselves around their male classmates. Hear ye, ladies, the lesson began. All right. The ladies will demonstrate to the school how the code of chivalry and standards set in the medieval concept of courtly love carries over to the modern day. All right, I'm just going to skip over to the Twitter page where someone already posted it. Oh, it doesn't have that quote, so we're just going to skip back. The lesson called for them to dress in feminine manner to please the men and to address all men respectfully by title, with a lowered head and curtsy, and instructed them to never criticize a male, initiate a conversation, or whine. It directed them to walk behind men or walk daintily, as if their feet were bound, and they were told to cook, clean, and obey any reasonable request of a male. If not sure if it is considered reasonable, ladies can check with their teachers. Okay. I'm going to try to read this. The rules for chivalry. The ladies of the class will demonstrate to the school how the code of chivalry and standards set in the medieval concept of courtly love carries over to the modern day. Okay, so this is, I guess maybe they were studying medieval literature or whatever. So they're going to say the ladies in the class will follow the rules of chivalry day. All ladies deemed worthy of the honor by the gentleman will receive 10 points for every signature at the end of the day. Fathers and other adult males may insist on following the rules into the evening and may report to the judges on these matters. What the heck? Okay, so it's not just an experiment for school. If your dad wants you to follow these things, you can. They can insist that you continue to follow them. Now, I understand that these assignments are given in the context of, like, this is an experiment. Because all these teachers think that they're the next Monroe. Who's the guy? Milford? All these teachers think that they're going to be the next teacher to run some crazy experiment on their students, and they're going to get a Wikipedia article written about them. And they're going to be famous because, like, we pushed the envelope. We got kids thinking out of the box. Yeah, it was controversial, but we did the experiment and we proved blah, 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 that frogs actually live in your intestine when you're not looking or something. I don't know. So they do these weird things, and then, but in practice, really, they're just dumb teachers that work at a high school in Texas. And so it doesn't actually work out very well. All right, so there's a list of things that the ladies must do and get an adult witness signature. Ladies must dress in a feminine manner to please the men. Ladies must address men respectfully. So are you supposed to do it and then be like, excuse me, can you please sign this form? Ladies must not complain or whine. Ladies must never criticize a male. Ladies must cook, preferably not buy, something for the gentlemen in their class. Sweet baked goods are preferable. Ladies must not initiate conversations with males. Ladies must walk behind men or walk daintily. Outside the classroom, ladies cannot show intellectual superiority if it would offend the men around them. Ladies should clean up after the men. Ladies must obey any reasonable request of a male. And ladies must bring in root beer, ginger ale, or sparkling cider for the gentlemen in their class. So they're basically going to be bartenders. All right, let's see if there's any other information in this article. In a statement shared by the NBC News, Shallow Water Independent School District Superintendent said the assignment has been reviewed and despite its historical context, does not reflect our district or community values. The matter has been addressed with the teacher and the assignment was removed. Let's see. Colin Tynes-Layen, an 18-year-old student in the English class that received the assignment, told NBC's Today Show that the boys had an accompanying assignment. Boys were to call ladies m'lady and pay all expenses when taking them out. Oh my goodness! There was a separate assignment for the boys and the news isn't reporting on it? Let's look at it. Gentlemen will dress appropriately in jackets and ties or suits. Gentlemen will show courtly courtesy, blah, 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 blah. When taking a lady out for the evening, the gentleman will pay all expenses. Gentlemen will rise when a lady walks into the room. Gentlemen should bow when greeting a lady. Okay, news. I just wasted 10 minutes talking about the lady side, which is what you reported on, when in fact, if you read the article, the men have to do gross things too. There will be no complaining on the part of the gentleman. Okay. So it was an assignment where all the females were supposed to act like the medieval times and the men were supposed to act like medieval times. And then you were supposed to be like, how did that make you feel? How do you think that they felt back in the olden days? What do you think of that? And then they were supposed to go back and forth and go like, that was pretty dumb. So I don't know. Sorry I wasted everyone's time with that. It wasn't that big of a deal. Final story. A Bucks County woman created deep fake videos to harass rivals on her daughter's cheerleading squad. A Bucks County woman anonymously sent coaches on her teen daughter's cheerleading squad fake photos and videos that depicted the girls' rivals naked, drinking, or smoking, all in a bid to embarrass them and force them from the team, prosecutors said. The woman, Rafaela Spone, also sent the manipulated images to the girls and in anonymous messages urged them to kill themselves. Bucks County District Attorney Matt Weintraub's office said. She was charged late last week with misdemeanor counts of cyber harassment of a child and related offenses. According to the affidavit of probable cause for her arrest, she was released on the condition that she appear at a preliminary hearing on March 30th. There was no indication that she had hired an attorney. Blah, blah, blah. All right. The affidavit said that last year she created doctored images of at least three members of the Victory Vipers, which is a traveling cheerleader squad based in Doylestown. There was no indication that her high school-age daughter, who was not publicly identified, knew what her mother was doing. Police at Hilltown Township were contacted by one of the victim's parents in July. When that girl began receiving text harassing messages from an anonymous number, the girl and her coaches at Victory Vipers were also sent photos that appeared to depict her naked, drinking, and smoking a vape. Her parents were concerned. They told police, because the videos could have caused their daughter to be removed from the team. Well, duh, that's the point. So there's a mom, right? And her daughter is on the cheerleading squad, but maybe she's not that good. Maybe she's not good enough. And the other ones are really good. And this mom has watched Cheer on Netflix, where that guy who has child porn was dancing around with all these girls. And like, this is the hardest thing we've ever done, but it's also the best thing we've ever done. Yeah, we abuse our bodies and our knees hurt and sometimes we fall on our heads and die, but it's cheer.com. Anyway, so she watched that Netflix show. She goes, wow, my daughter has to be the best cheer. So she's like, well, who's better than her? I got to take those people down. So she spends forever harassing them via text message and making fake photos of them naked and smoking. Police investigated, and two more families came forward to say their daughters had received similar messages from an unknown number, the affidavit said. The other victims were sent photos of themselves in bikinis with accompanying text message. The subjects were drinking at the shore. After analyzing the videos, detectives determined that they were deep fakes. Digitally altered but realistic-looking images created by mapping the girl's social media photos onto other images. Are we saying that this lady, Rafaela Marie Spone, who is depicted in this photo here with eyeliner around her entire eye, over and under, and you know what they say about ladies who do the under of the eye. You're saying that this lady knows enough about computers to have created deep fakes of people naked? Or can you go on Fiverr.com and get that? If so, send me one of me. I give you consent. Rattel said that his daughter and the two other victims were initially friends with Spone's daughter. He believes the harassment was triggered after he and his wife told his daughter to stop hanging out with Spone's daughter due to concerns over the other girl's behavior. I don't know what would push her to this point. As a dad, I was pretty upset about it. It's an image put out there of my daughter that is simply not true. the coaches and gym owners, blah, 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 declined to comment on Friday. So we'll follow up on this story. And that's the end of the show. Oh, no, it's not. I freaking forgot a whole thing. So the house is for sale. This is not secret info. You guys can go. It's publicly available information. So I thought I'd bring it up that the studio might have to move soon. And by studio, I mean a monitor, a microphone, a chair, and a camera. So I basically, a couple months ago, walked into, we'd had this like 14-inch storm of snow, right? And as everyone knows, in 2019, I had my roof replaced by this company where they actually just left the roof off for one night and the entire roof leaked into the ceiling and I recorded it and then I did a show the next day and I was like, look, the house is basically ruined. So that was traumatic, right? We finally get the roof replaced. I pay a whole bunch of money more for it. We get 14 inches of snow earlier this winter. I go into my VR room and I go, huh, there appears to be some ice dam leaking through the new roof, through the new ice shield on the brand new roof of the brand new. Like, how many times can I say the same words over and over again? I'm like, the house appears to still leak after all of this I've put into it. I'm done. I'm just done. So the house went on the market and, we're under contract, just like James, to get rid of this thing into the hands of someone else. Hopefully they don't listen to this show, though. Not that I'm not clear with... Well, this is the problem. Like, my realtors hate me because they're like, you don't have to tell them, like, everything that's wrong with the house. I'm like, eh. I mean, you have to disclose certain things. You have to disclose, like, are there mice, do you know of? Is there any roof leaking that you know of? I'm like... Well, there was, yeah. Is there any poltergeists or ghosts? That's a thing you have to disclose. Not that I know of. That's the one thing we don't have, right? So we're under contract to get rid of this dumb house, and I'm going to be homeless. I'm actually going to be doing the show from the streets, right? Although, there's a couple houses that have like six less participants in them now because they're in federal custody. So maybe one of those houses will want me. Now, if this deal falls through, though, we could go the other direction. I could just donate the house to the Shire Free Church and be like, it's my final donation of being an activist. Okay. That was not a very good story of the house selling, but I'm sorry. Like, there's not much I can go into about the process right now because it's still in negotiations and contracting, so there's not much to say right now about the process of selling a house. Never sold one before, and I'm not sure my real estate agent has either. So I made a good pick there. This has been News with Nick. Head on over to newswithnick.com. Sign up for the text updates, and you can get live updates and come to the chat whenever there's a show on Friday nights. I got to get going. There's lots to do. Got to eat some rice cakes and soup. And I don't know. Bye.